This is a HeadGum Original.
Fuck, how's the start?
You just started it, bro.
Oh, shit. Is this, okay.
We're in.
Hey, vroom, vroom, beep, beep. Welcome to the pit wall.
They don't have horns.
Episode. It would be amazing if they had horns. Just Alonso laying on the horn at Hamilton.
It's like when they wave to each other when they go by. Instead, it's just a really long horn.
The finger.
La cucaracha. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Pit Wall. This is an F1 podcast for the casual fan. What does that mean?
It means
we don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah. None of us know what we're talking about. We don't want to do any research.
Yeah.
But we like these boys and like to watch them go around
if
little
you
tracks
can't
really
handle
fast.
Me, if you can't handle me at my hot takes, you don't deserve me at my nuanced opinions.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel about that?
It says that,
that
on
was
your
beautiful.
Shirt.
Really? I thought I came up with it independently.
All right. So to get things started, we are going to listen to a prediction that Jake made after qualifying yesterday.
And that's right. So every single episode, we're going to kick it off with a prediction that someone has made from the day before, post-quali.
Yes. Okay. So now I'm going to take a second to figure out how to share this.
I would like to say up top that I think I had a hard week because literally no one started in a position where they qualified in. So...
Right.
Yeah.
The engine penalty.
So, sorry, you did your prediction based on their actual qualifying position and didn't take into account penalties at all?
No, I took into account their grid position, but it really threw everything off, you know? Like,
right.
You look at, like, their starting positions, and it's all out of whack.
It's the most smug I've ever seen, Marika. Sorry, you didn't take into account penalties? Fucking idiot.
And you just started... Jeff just lied down to podcast.
It's so
immediately reclines.
It's really early for Jeff and I. The race started and the sun was not up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Had you gone
but
to
that's
sleep
the fun of it.
Yet, Jeff?
I went to bed at 3 and woke up at 5:45.
Yeah. Of course. I knew you were going to say something like that.
It's Saturday night, right? I'll be up for the race. I'll be up for the pod.
Yeah, I went to bed early because I knew I had to be up and record a podcast. And here we are doing it. And I believe I have Jake's prediction here. Let's take a listen.
Hey, everybody. Jake here. These are my predictions for the Belgian Grand Prix. We've got did not finish, unfortunately for him, Zhou. Did not finish, unfortunately for him, Schumacher. Did finish, but in 18th, we've got Latifi. 17, Tsunoda. 16, Bottas. Hate to say it. I hate to see it. 15, we've got Ocon. 14, Albon. 13th, the Haas of Kevin Magnus. 12, Stroll, even though you know I'm a Stroll troll, and I have been from day one. 11, Vettel. 10, hate to say this as well, it's Ricciardo. I wish you could have done better. But you didn't. You finished 10th at Spa. 9, we've got Alonso.
Yeah.
8, Gasly. 7, duh, it's Lando Norris. 6, George Russell. 5, Leclerc. Bummer for everybody. 4, Perez. 3, Hamilton. He found a way to the podium, folks. 3, Verstappen. And number 1, the Ferrari of Carlos Sainz. My God, with his second win. Incredible for the Spaniard.
Could have been true. It was true for like a third of the race.
It was close. You know, it was really, it was eerily accurate. Eerily accurate.
Yeah.
I nailed Latifi's place.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Weird one to nail, I guess.
How many DNFs were there in that prediction? 3?
2. There were 2. So I knew Latifi was going to come in dead last. So I was basically predicting 2 did not finish, which was also accurate.
Yeah.
Just got the folks who did it wrong.
Sure. Yeah, okay. So we're loose with what accurate means here. I like those predictions. They were bold for a race that was, I think, hard to predict what was going to happen.
Kevin Magnussen is really good.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. The first lap of that race was, it really, I feel like there was so much action in that first, in the first two laps that I thought it was going to be a really good, exciting race. And then basically laps 2 through 42 were, or 44, not that fun.
Yeah. It could have been worse though.
How so?
I feel like the first couple races I watched were kind of deeply boring. No movement,
no story of Verstappen coming back from P14 for the win, which I hate to see, but it is a story nonetheless. Yeah.
Right.
And I had fun.
I liked that towards the end of the race, Crofty literally blamed Max for a boring race. I really like that. He was like, I'm just kidding, but also like, come on.
Yeah, I mean, is he like minute and a half behind most of the field or ahead of most of the field?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
That's awesome.
Which, how did he get that far?
Your mic is off now.
Can I'm so excited for my later segment.
You have a segment?
Not my segment. The later segments in mine for one of them.
Oh, I see.
Oh, I just found out there's a button on top.
Nice.
Can you guess what it does?
Have you been talking at all?
I commented on the Joe Granu pronunciation.
Also, should we say who we are?
So this turns off every 10 seconds. This is going to be an interesting podcast for me.
The mic turns
off?
Yeah,
it keeps turning off.
That's our CTO, everybody. Andrew Pyle.
Yeah, I had like a couple of pretty good cracks in there. I was kind of surprised you guys didn't react at all. So, yeah, it's kind of like,
that makes sense.
That's a shame.
Radio silence.
It'll be amazing for us on the Zoom was frozen, actually.
I'm Jeffrey Plan G James.
That was the segment.
No.
Marika. I feel like we should do it. We should have just done these fast. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It should have been top of the show kind of situation.
Top of the show.
Podcast about racing. And here we like to take our
time. We all work in podcasting and we're all very good at it. But it's a pilot. We're allowed to make mistakes.
Yeah. So from now on, we'll always introduce ourselves after the first segment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just because
we have to set up
the rest
of
the show.
Right. Yeah.
I'm Jake. I nailed the predictions and the pronunciation of Joe Granjou.
So bad. It's better than when you were saying zoo, but it's still not correct.
Yeah. Joe Granjou, is that it?
There's no R. It's like, it's Joe Granjou.
Guan, wow. I thought it was like, the middle name was after the Grand Prix.
You know what, Jake, I feel for you because I feel like there's so many different accents in F1 that anytime anyone says anyone's name, I am constantly feeling like, I don't know what's going to sound like when I say their name.
Yeah, I feel like I've said Ricardio for such a long time just because there's a weird I in there.
People say also, Leclerc.
Yeah, Leclerc, Leclerc, Charles.
I heard Naomi say Leclerc today, and I was like, isn't it Leclerc? Or is it Leclerc?
Yeah, it's whatever you want it to be.
I guess.
Yeah. Nobody makes any
pronunciations from fucking Crofty, right?
Yeah.
That seems...
No, he screws up a lot, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said... I believe he said that... he said George Russell was in a Williams, then he corrected himself to McLaren.
Yeah, summer break. They're all coming back. It's fine.
It's only 2 weeks, right?
I think it was like a full month.
Three?
Four. It's like a whole month, yeah.
Last race
Danny Rick was in L.A.
Last race was July 31st.
Yeah, and Sainz learned to foil board, so that's a good amount of time.
Mm-hmm. I also heard that he was learning signs language.
Really?
I don't know if I introduced myself. I'm Casey.
Hold on, I think Pyle's mic turned off again because you didn't really laugh at Jeff's joke.
I'm actually kind of into
really,
it.
I was because Jeff made the signs language joke, right. And it wasn't a reaction, so I couldn't tell if it had turned off or not.
Yeah, no, it's working fine. It's working super good. Yeah. It's picking up every breath. So,
all right, let's talk about this race, huh? We got what was it? The Belgian Grand Prix.
The Rolex Belgian Grand Prix.
Oh, wow. Actually, that must be your favorite race.
They all have Rolex branding on them.
No, this was the Rolex Grand Prix.
This was the Rolex Pirelli Belgian Grand Prix.
Jeff, do you want to hit us with your track-based joke that you texted the group?
Oh, I said this track doesn't look very relaxing. You know, spa and all. The most altitude Pyle's changes of any.
I mean, can you pronounce? Can anyone pronounce the full name of this track correctly?
Spa-Francorchamps.
Spa-Francorchamps.
It's close.
Francorchamps.
I didn't even know Spa was
Francorchamps.
Francorchamps.
Because it's French.
French.
Yeah. It's the French part of Belgium.
Interesting. I didn't know that Spa was... Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, I said, I think Spa looks awesome. It sucks that it's in Belgium.
Why?
I don't know. I just think Belgium's really boring place.
I do want to go to Spa.
It looks awesome. It looks
like
a great
track. There's some geopolitical thing that I'm unaware of in regards to the French region of Belgium, but it's just that you think it's boring.
Yeah.
It looks beautiful.
I don't think they are
the only known anti-Belgium podcast that you listen to.
Well, the whole thing is
Max
like,
has no
should
sense
it be
of
taken
humor
off
at all.
Of the...
Yeah. Would you say that you does bristle at Belgium? Like bristle?
I bristle at the thought of Belgium.
I just think it seems like a very boring country and there would be nothing else to do except
no, but
go
in all
see
seriousness, I really do think that Belgium sucks. Serious ass.
Doubling down.
All jokes aside.
But next year, it's still on the calendar. That was a point of...
Yeah, they made a point to say that.
Indecision for a while.
I was looking... Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say that I noticed during qualifiers and practice, they talked about how they changed the track. They changed... added that big gravel trap area, and that really seemed to affect the race today a bit.
Mm-hmm. On Valtteri Bottas's birthday, no less, he got stuck in the gravel. Not cool.
And it's I hate to say this, but the race is not even the first DNF, the last DNF that Bottas is going to get today. Because I think that him not finishing at the race is going to haunt him so much that when he goes to have birthday sex tonight, he's also not going to finish.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
A DNF on your birthday sex. Imagine that.
I do think his wife posted him trying to find it. I briefly saw another naked photo of him on Instagram. I think he's probably going to be fine.
Whatever the equivalent of this is going to happen to his wife.
Getting rammed?
Yeah, who's his wife in that photo?
Just kind of like going like... Oh.
All right. Oh, God.
I'm going to get this thing back on track.
Back on track. Very nice.
Thank you so much. So we're going to talk about the race. I believe we're going to go in reverse order. Yeah?
Cool.
How's that sound to you guys?
Love it.
Yep. Love it. I do need to remember everyone's place.
Oh, I got the list right here.
Hamilton was
last.
Dead last.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I feel like Mook going in reverse order for this race, it's like the DNFs are what was the most exciting thing about the race. It was the very beginning of the race, and then like everything just kind of like ended up being as if, you know, it was like a standard qualifier or something. Like all the back of the track stuff, like all the excitement that I thought was going to happen about like, wow, Max has to like race to the front to get points, and then like the safety car just like reset everything back to normal.
Yeah, Max raced to the front in like the first five laps. It's fucking
I do feel insane. Like they gave him too much credit because of that safety car.
Yeah,
but he did, like, it was impressive how quickly it happened, but it was like a lot of it was the safety car.
But didn't, I mean, he made up like five places off the start, right?
He was on mediums, I think. Oh, no, he was on softs. He was like the only person up front.
It was like he and Carlos were the only people on softs. So, like, for the restart, I mean, I don't know. But it was cool. It's fine.
Leclerc was on softs.
I did feel really bad for Hamilton. No, Carlos was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of Hamilton, he came in 20th DNF. We saw he went flying through the air a little bit.
Do you guys feel like he... I guess in his post-race, he just took credit or took the blame for that accident. He's like, yeah, he's in my blind spot.
I thought it was really cool. In my notes, I have Lewis good exclamation points, and then I have depressed exclamation points, and then I have it doesn't really matter what he said, which is what he said to stop the interviewer from...
They're trying to...
like, trying to dig up drama between him and Fernando, and then I was like, that was cool.
Yeah. For a guy who just crashed into somebody, Fernando like spent a long time. Like it was a pretty nuanced insult from the car.
Yeah,
like,
in he the had middle that of one a, in the pocket he already. It, he was ready to deploy that.
Yeah, I feel like he has said that about Lewis before, and that was his opportunity to say it over the radio.
Wait, what did he say?
He said he only knows how to race from the front.
He said this guy only knows how to drive and start in first.
Yeah.
Which is like.
He also called him an idiot.
Lewis Hamilton won the Brazilian Grand Prix from basically like 25th place, which is impossible. Like,
in the back, and then he had like a sixth place penalty or something crazy like that. Yeah, that was awesome. That was a good race. Also, Hamilton refused to go to the medical tent or something like that. So, like, the alarm in his car went off because it was such an intense smash for him. Mm-hmm. And, like, now I guess he got, like, a warning from the FIA for not going
which
to
is,
their
I, but
tent.
Also, like, did the, I wonder if the medical car tried to pick him up on his walk back through the forest.
Right. He didn't need the hospital. He knew what he needed, which was a walk through the woods.
Yeah.
He just needed to be alone with his thoughts for a little bit.
I liked that they called him forlorn looking when he was walking back.
I'd like to see him at like an aquarium sort of being triggered by the porpoises. Because that's still the issue with Mercedes right now, right?
Yeah, they figure that out?
I think there's just everything is an issue.
Yeah.
It seemed like today a lot of drivers were dealing with porpoising.
Yeah.
Everyone seemed real bouncy out there.
Yeah.
And some of the drivers lack porpoise, a sense of porpoise anyway.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, Daniel Ricciardo, we'll talk about.
Yeah, Daniel. He has a lack of porpoise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's keep moving through this grid. We got Bottas in 19th, also DNF.
I don't remember how
he DNF'd. What happened there?
He DNF'd because he was just avoiding the collision. Who was it between Latifi?
Latifi spun out and did his best to go off the track.
Did his best to crash into Valtteri.
seemingly. And then they were both kind of off the track, and then you just see Latifi speed away. It was pretty funny.
Basically just didn't do anything. There wasn't even a collision, right? It was just
Latifi tried to deliver a birthday card.
It's like screaming happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Honking
as
his horn
out.
It's a birthday song.
as he rejoins the race, suffering no fucking consequences.
But also no rewards.
Yeah,
yeah. I guess finishing the race is a reward.
Yeah, Latifi is, I think, the only person who does not have points yet this season.
Yes, Latifi, I don't have those points up, but he did come in 18th, so that he's next on our grid. So
yeah. He's also, I mean, the amazing thing about Latifi is that he's so inconsequential, but creates so much shit around him that he's basically a factor in every single race.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's nobody else like that, that is like the worst driver, but also so bad that they like cause fucking mishaps for everybody.
He has the chaotic energy touch.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. What kind of touch does he have, Jeff?
He has the shittest touch. So everything he touches turns to shit.
That's good. Shittest touch. I like that a lot.
Did you just scroll up your phone? Was that one? Was that on there as a?
No, that was Kayla playing Wordle.
Yeah.
Which, can some administrator take me out of that fucking channel? I don't play Wordle anymore. I can't leave it because I'm a recurring guest or whatever.
That's still going on, that channel? Oh my god.
Yeah. Well, it's mostly Marika and Kayla posting framed results.
I've been so proud of myself because I followed Jake's unsolicited advice from If I Were You to unsubscribe from emails. I've been getting notifications except for Kayla and fucking Marika doing the pictorial or whatever.
You can mute channels.
Okay,
so you can just do that.
I'll remove you from the channel. I'm an admin. I'll remove you. I know that Zen mindset that you're going for.
Yeah.
She wants out. You guys, I mean, this is an F1 podcast, but Marika, I'm sorry, you single-handedly ruined the Wordle Slack channel.
I know.
I know. Okay, we talked about it. All right, cool.
It's fine. Yeah.
I still play Wordle, but I've created a system where I'm just trying to do it as fast as possible. I do the same three words for the first three things. It gets me all five letters, and then I'm okay, can I figure this out? Number four, I usually do. And I'm done in less than a minute. It's more of a speed thing for me now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The new way I do it is I guess two words. And if I don't really know what's happening after that, I just don't play for the day. And that's right. Kind
of
nice.
And that's sort of a DNF in a different way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do a DNF and then I go and try to have sex with Jill and I can't get hard. And I...
the safety car has to come by.
The loss haunts me.
Number 17 on the grid, Mick Schumacher.
Yeah.
He had pretty good moment, I think, with Latifi, where he passed him. I was really proud of him. It was a nice, clean pass somewhere in the middle of the race.
I've got a nickname for Mick. It's the prodigal dumb.
That's very good.
He's got real golden retriever puppy energy.
Yeah.
So I get it.
Yeah. I think
it's a happy dumb.
Yeah. But what Schumacher is, I think, is what George Russell wants everyone to think he is.
Yeah.
George Russell George Russell wants to be like the little golden boy, but Schumacher actually just is.
So what is George actually then?
A better driver?
He's a better driver for sure.
Well, yeah.
He's kind of like a hollow man.
George Russell
being like, good or bad.
Yeah, what's your problem with me, man? Do you not like me? And it's I don't think about you.
Everyone's supposed to like me. I'm George Russell.
Yeah. Also, isn't his girlfriend insanely hot, but he looks like a frog?
He's kind of hot.
All their girlfriends are insanely hot.
But I think his is specifically really attractive, and he, to me, looks like some kind of amphibian.
Max's girlfriend isn't hot.
Well, he's Max's girlfriend busted as fuck.
Max's girlfriend is a whole other thing that will long to get into.
It's its own segment.
It really is.
Number 16 on the grid. Another Haas, Kevin Magnussen.
What happened to him?
Yeah.
I didn't see him at all the whole race
for Haas.
Didn't we feel at the beginning of the season, they're finishing in the points, we're like, oh my God, Ferrari and Haas, that's what this season's going to be.
A couple weeks ago, it seemed like Haas was getting faster, and those Haas boys were like giving some interesting sound bites, some really fun, like, we're gonna win, even though it's like you're not. But I love the energy.
I mean,
yeah.
I feel like, I don't remember if it was yesterday during qualifying or today, but they were talking to Gunther, and I feel like he seemed like he felt pretty confident when they were doing like the pit wall conversations.
He always seems confident, and that's honestly why I think he's my favorite F1 character.
Oh. Yeah, me
yeah,
too.
For sure.
I feel like every Friday of race weekend, yeah, he thinks that they might get a podium, and then every Sunday evening, he's like, he wants to kill himself. Like, he needs to be a little more even keeled, I think.
Mm. And Monday morning, he forgets what happened.
Yeah,
and he just does it all over again.
Exactly.
It's pretty baller.
Number 15.
This is so sad. Here we go.
15 on the grid.
P6 to P15.
Danny Ricciardo.
He had a good race for most of it. I mean, like, he still fell down to like 9, 10. I didn't notice what happened that got him back to 15, but
yeah, I don't know either.
And the second week after they announced he's not returning to McLaren, I was like, what if he gets like P6 or stays in at least in the points?
Yeah,
would be great, but not nay.
Yeah, I was hoping for like a revenge.
Yeah,
place.
Yeah, I did want him to win a bit.
And yeah, then
like it looks like he only did one pit stop.
That's really sad.
Well, that's probably why, because his tires are gone.
Yeah.
But it made me sad hearing the commentators being like, there might be a place for Daniel Ricciardo at Williams. I'm like, kidding me? Just retire.
And they're like, yeah, Williams, Haas.
Haas would be cool.
Haas or Haas, cool. Folks.
I think, H-A-U-S. I don't know. I mean,
House. The House of Car.
I am admittedly really like, whatever about Daniel Ricciardo, but I feel like he should have just retired a long time ago. I don't know. Yeah. Like, the fact that he jumped from so many different teams is just like, what are you doing?
I agree. Yeah, I don't think he should have left Renault
in this time period. Yeah.
Leaving Renault was
he shouldn't have left Red Bull.
Yeah,
clearly.
He was, that was so stupid.
Dude, that was his own choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of cuckoo.
Yeah.
But I didn't bristle at confident Ricciardo, but I didn't really think about him. I really feel for sad Ricciardo.
Yeah.
When Danny is sad, I'm just like, I feel bad. I'm a real Danny empath.
Did you guys see the video that he posted where he's like, hey guys, just want you to hear it from me.
You're the last person I'm hearing it from.
so sad.
Yeah.
The fake smiles.
Even in that video, he when he's talking about like, I don't know what my future holds, it really seems like he's like,
he really doesn't
I don't
know.
It might be my last season, just because I might not have a team to go to is what I read between the lines. And it's like,
he should go to Formula E. he's perfect for Formula E.
He is perfect for Formula E. It's just like that personality is like, it needs people like that.
Yeah.
Just wacky. It's already like pretty wacky.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think he has enough of a personality to be like a standout racer, or like he's not like a media star to me.
Yeah, he can't.
He's basically like, he's the most charismatic Formula One driver, where like, you know, not a lot of the other ones are George Russell.
Checo and George Russell.
Yeah.
He has a TV show being made about him or something, though. Like a sitcom or something.
Really?
Yeah, Hulu show.
Wait, a Danny Ricciardo Hulu show?
Yeah, I don't know if it's about him, but he's like working on a Hulu show.
I thought it was a Formula One sitcom.
I mean, I think, yeah, it's a Formula One scripted series in the works at Hulu with Daniel Ricciardo.
Which, Jake, you really
developing.
Should staff on.
Yeah, I would love to. I'll email my agent after this. Maybe she'll finally get back to me.
Yeah.
He seems like a great fit for TV. Like, it seems like you know, if he retires from racing, I'm like, I'll be seeing this guy around on Netflix or Hulu or I don't know what's he'll bring Quibi back or something.
Paramount I'd be Plus happy to see for it. Sure.
Yeah, Paramount Plus
for sure. Paramount Plus.
Next on the grid, we've got Zhou Guan Yu.
Zhou Guan Yu.
Zhou Guan Yu.
Guan Yu.
And I'm honestly basing it off of what David Croft says, so I could also be wrong. But I remember there was a whole thing at the beginning of the season where like they were explaining how to say his name, but then kept messing it up. It was just like, this shouldn't be this hard, guys.
Yeah, we have to have him on the podcast. It's the only way we can know for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He seems really cool.
Yeah, he finished 14th.
Yeah, good race.
Qualified.
Sorry, I predicted that I predicted he wouldn't finish.
DNF.
Yeah, so a better turnout than Jake predicted, and really that's all you can ask for.
Yeah, I owe you two apologies, sir.
Next up, number 13, Yuki Tsunoda.
Boo.
I hate Yuki.
You hate him? I like him.
Yeah, why do you hate Yuki?
I like Yuki.
Him in the... Drives to Survive season 4. He's just like, he's such a little shit.
Yeah.
He's a literal child.
He's so young, though.
Don't get it. Well, he's not that young. He's like fucking 19.
That's pretty young to be driving race cars internationally.
Old enough to know that you shouldn't just be eating like Dunkaroos all the time or whatever.
He has Justin Bieber energy. Like, you know, remember like the story of Justin Bieber 22. Pissing in a mop bucket backstage or whatever?
Yeah.
Like, that's the type of shit that Tsunoda would do. He's just kind of like a dickhead, but that bodes well for his glow up when he's like 28 and he has like a face tattoo and it's just really cool.
I mean, also we have to look at Max Verstappen, who like 3 years ago punched Esteban Ocon, like... And now is like relatively even keel. So
Verstappen is even keel.
I mean, in comparison to 3 years ago, Verstappen.
Yeah, I guess now
he's
not
punching anyone anymore.
Well,
I think it helps if you're like over 100 points in the lead for the driver's championship.
I mean, I don't know if Helmut Marko tried to find a psychiatrist for Yuki. Maybe that's what he did for Verstappen. Maybe the team psychiatrist is doing. Great.
That's
stuff.
What I'm saying, though. Like, don't make this fucking 80-year-old bag like babysit you and teach you manners.
Helmut Marko. Helmut Marko sucks.
It's like it's not Cotillion, it's Formula One. You should come ready and know how to show up for your work where you get paid so much.
What prepares you to be in Formula One as an 18-year-old? Come ready?
I don't know what
Formula
history
3.
Was before
yeah,
Formula 1. So yeah, what was he driving before Formula 1? Was he in Formula 3?
I think he had a Passat.
Yeah, I think they come through the driver's program, right? Because it's
sometimes
it's Red Bull's driver's program. I mean, it's AlphaTauri, so it's I think
he did the Formula 3 series in 2019 and then the Toyota Racing series in 2020. Which I guess is Formula 2 ? I don't know. I'm looking at Wikipedia. So he did some of them, but yeah, he was still a child.
Still is a child, I would say.
Yeah.
He should still be karting.
Stay in your lane, Yuki.
He doesn't quite have Gen Z energy. It's like below Gen Z energy is what I get from him.
Oh, you think he's, what's the next one?
Zoomer?
Alpha?
Oh.
Isn't it like Generation Alpha or something? Isn't that what
I think we're creating new generations like too
way
too close.
Yeah.
Because everyone's trying to be independent. They want to distance themselves.
Yeah.
Anyway, pretty good finish for him, I guess, considering he started in the pit lane. But, you know.
Yeah. Next up, we got Lando Norris. He came in 12th.
So Lando Norris, I think, has the most boy energy of anyone. Like, he really doesn't seem to have experienced anything in his life except being in the garage at an F1.
It's F1 and, like, Twitch streaming, which is the most Gen Z energy. I like to call him Lando Norris because it's a no from me, Doc.
I love Lando. Lando's my dumb little son.
Yeah, well, I think my all-time favorite thing that happened to Lando was when he was leading the race. They told him to pit for the inters. This is the Russian Grand Prix, right? Told him to pit for the inters. He said, shut up. Then he spun out and ended up finishing like fifth or seventh or something. Like,
I loved that. I made a playlist.
For that
but
moment.
You can't be angry at him, though. It's not like he's an adult. That's the thing. It's like, you're like, oh, you're young and making mistakes. Never mind that he cost that team like millions of dollars or whatever because he did that. It's still fun to watch.
How old is Lando?
I think he's 37.
There's no way.
I thought he was 8.
I've seen Lando's him on YouTube and Twitch, so I assume he's like 15.
Yeah.
He's 22. Close.
The thing with Lando and maybe
a little
older
than Yuki.
I don't know about Yuki, but I know that with Lando, like part of his pits, like they actually started calling it the shit lane for him because it's like changing tires and his diapers.
God damn. He also had like a 10-second pit stop this race for some reason. Which
that was Yuki.
Yeah.
Oh, that was Yuki? Never mind.
That actually, we'll come back to that.
Let's move along to our 11th
place.
Well,
we also didn't wait. We didn't talk about it's too late for Plan G.
that's got to be the radio call of the day.
Yeah, I think so too. He was just like stuck in a DRS train the entire race. I think that's what mostly happened to him, which sucks.
Yeah, piece of shit.
11th on the grid was Lance Stroll.
Yes, dude. Everyone has a favorite driver and then a second favorite driver. And for me, my second favorite driver is Lance friggin' Stroll.
There's no way.
Why is that?
Because it started as a joke, but I feel like the calling Nicholas Latifi the goatee-fee and like... I feel like, you know, Latifi's dad also got him a place on the grid and he really sucks. And Stroll's dad got him a place on the grid, and he just kind of sucks. So it's nepotism at its best.
Yeah. Also, I mean, I guess Stroll's dad got him a place on the grid by buying a whole team.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Latifi, I guess, kind of his dad sponsors Williams. But
yeah, I feel like he must sponsor them a lot.
Yeah.
It's also wild because Latifi like grew up karting with Lance and Max. Like there's photos of them like when they were like 15 wearing cargo shorts in Florida. Like
oh.
But he's so bad in comparison. It's like what went wrong?
Yeah, what's wrong with the Canadians?
He doesn't have
I don't know the what well, yeah, what did Crofty say? Two Canadians starting in the top 10 for the first time in Formula One.
Yeah.
It's got to be the most useless stat.
Incredible stat. Incredible.
The self-awareness.
I've been keeping track of every double Canadian start, and this is the highest it's ever been.
I tried typing out all of the useless stats that they were saying when they were going through the starting grid. Impossible. They're a mile a minute.
Yeah.
There's so many. It's crazy. Charles Leclerc never finished on a podium from outside seventh. Max, all I have is Max 16th or lower podium three times.
Right.
Two Aston Martins top 10 first time of the season. And then I gave up.
Right.
Next on the grid, we've got Albon in at 10th.
I'm proud of him. Yeah. I was my prediction would have been an Albon win just because I wanted it, but I'm glad he got a point.
I'm kind of pissed that he took that point from Lance, but there's another race. There's another race. There's always another race.
There's always another race.
Yeah. moving on past Albon, I feel like 7th, 8th, and 9th. This was like, these three guys had my favorite moment of the race. Let's start with, you know, 9th place, Pierre Gasly. But they had that moment where they were like, all three of them were together.
Yeah.
Oh, three abreast.
Yeah. That was good.
Yeah. And I can't remember who ended up in front, but they were like all three overtaking each other in one turn. And I was like, this is some real driving.
I have in my notes, based on another crafty quote, that it was the second time in this race that Esty Bestie, Esteban Ocon, took two cars in one corner. But it really, every thing that they said about that was like slightly too sexual.
That's the opposite of in one corner, did not finish.
Three abreast. I can't remember the first way that he said it, but it was also a little weird. But
I can't say this. Never mind.
What can you not say based on the stuff that you have felt fine saying?
He's got his hand down his pants
in my pocket.
Also, I don't know what to do with this arm.
This is a video podcast, right? We're releasing this as a video.
Fully reclined.
It was going to be the pun on the C word with Ocon.
That's good. That's very fun.
Marika can say it.
Yeah, I'm not going to. But it's good. I don't know the origin of SD Bestie, but that is a nickname for him that I see a lot online, so I'm co-opting it, even though I don't really like him.
Yeah, I don't really have an opinion on...
like, they're supposed to be hot. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We're losing Vettel.
Vettel, you think is hot? Vettel...
Vettel works
at a beet farm. No,
Vettel,
he's not.
Vettel
hot.
Came in eighth.
Vettel
next
is
on
granola.
Our
list. He's crunchy. He's casual. Just rolled out of bed, daddy. Right.
He's many good things, but he's not hot. He's not remotely he's hot.
I think it's interesting his like progression over F1. How he looks. He looks like maybe the most different of anybody.
Yeah,
in their
he started
career.
Really like. I feel like he kind of had a punk vibe early on, and now has progressed to like this
went,
crunchy
like,
granola.
Bald.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now he has tons of hair.
Miracle-Grow.
Interesting. Didn't the same thing happen to Lewis Hamilton?
I think Lewis Hamilton is doing something, yeah.
They've all got the same guy as LeBron.
Doing something to his hair?
I think so. It's doing something to get it back.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I'd have to see some comparison photos. Before I go,
I'll send one to the chat. You guys, it's
incriminating.
I do want to know more about Esteban Ocon's feud with Pierre Gasly. They're like enemies. So
Esteban
anytime there's
Ocon
anything,
came in 7th.
Yeah. Anytime there's just any like battle between them, I hope that it ends in some sort of fight because I know that they don't like each other.
Is it because they're both French? Is it some sort of
French
rivalry?
Yeah, I think it's like the growing up with each other rivalry.
Wow. Look at this hairline on Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah, I think... I mean, if I were making $1 million, I'd also get a sick hair transplant.
It looks really good on him.
Yeah.
He looks so
like
much
you would not
better.
Know.
Mm-hmm.
When was that first photo taken?
It looks like a long time ago because he's not in a Mercedes uniform.
It's taken 30 years in the future.
Wow. Where's my grid? Here it is. Number 6, Charles Leclerc.
Charles Leclerc.
Devastating.
Idiot.
I mean,
fucking dumbasses.
What a dumb strategy.
I can't believe what I saw. And I see that. I feel that way every week.
Every race.
I've been watching.
But, This one was like, I felt like I was playing, yeah, I felt like I was playing a video game and making a bad choice. Like the screen pops up, like hit A or B if you want to pit right now or whatever. And just being like, B. It's like the strategy a lot of times is like, okay, the tire strategy was really shitty and it took, you know, it took half a race to play out. This was just like, okay, we could get the fastest lap on the last lap. Let's just do it. And
yeah,
without looking like at any of the times or anything. It's just so insane.
And it cost them what? Like 3 points?
Yeah, right? Because he lost the spot, place.
Yeah, what happened was
he sped coming out of the lap or out of the pit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or going in. I don't know which side, actually.
I think he was speeding out of the pit.
Yeah.
It's also so funny that they're doing all this, like, all right, let's get this point because it's critical in our championship battle with Verstappen. It's just like, you guys, that's not...
You know what's helpful? 15 points instead of 12.
Yeah, and also you're just like, it's clear that you're not gonna fucking contend.
Yeah, the Ferrari really is like the New York Knicks of Formula One.
Oh yeah, it's a good comp.
Yeah, at this point, Charles is like behind by 98 points, and
it's insane.
Carlos is catching up to Charles. Charles
has
185 points. Carlos has 171.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, so Charles might not even end up on the podium.
Yeah. I mean, God, I feel like this, he doesn't even have the energy to primal scream. He's like giving up that much.
Yeah, I was trying to find his like reaction at the end of the race, but I can't find it.
It's gotta just be a sigh. It's gotta just be like a whatever.
Yeah, dead silence. It's pretty possible that Carlos is going to pass him in the points. He passed him last year. He got more points than him. Like,
yeah,
they're really fucking Charles over. I say as more of a Carlos fan.
I mean, to keep using sex as an analogy, I just feel like Charles blows his load too early. He's a premature Leclerc leader.
That's fascinating. Lord. It's fascinating that bring that up. I feel like we're talking more about Ferrari strategy, and you are talking about Leclerc coming early.
Yeah.
I wonder
how 2 years in a row where he like loses steam. I guess I could have just said that. Hours 45 minutes of sleep.
Fifth on the grid, Fernando Alonso.
Yeah,
a good
race from our guy.
I mean, immediately a great start for him. Right into the crash with Lewis, he was doing great. Mm-hmm. We established was not his fault. Didn't have to be so mean about it over radio. But that's fine. I don't know. Well, I feel like I put too many eggs in my Fernando basket every race, and I'm like, he's gonna tear shit up, and then he doesn't do anything in the way that I want him to do.
Yeah, right. Like, we want him battling with the Red Bulls, but instead it's just like he's like, I'm not gonna fuck with them, I'm gonna fuck with everybody else.
Yeah, it sucks.
I've enjoyed him coming back and being good though, and I like him doing it in an Alpine.
Not anymore.
Really? Yeah, not for long, but good finish for Alpine overall.
Wait, sorry Jeff, do you not know any of the...
I only knew that I haven't looked at the signings.
Oh my God, the biggest drama of the season.
I only followed Ricardo, and you know, I know Ferrari's sticking the same.
Well, but that does mean that Ricardo could go back to Alpine, which is exciting.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to see that.
I want to see him in Alpine. I don't want to see him in a fucking Haas.
Yeah,
even though he is a Haas.
Yeah, I'd like to see Ricardo in an Alpine. I think that's good storytelling. And after all, F1. Is about stories, really, at the end of the day.
Yeah.
It's about stories and ejaculating on time, exactly when you need to.
Yes.
Yeah.
Number four.
I don't know.
Go ahead, Marika.
No, I was just going to say that when I went to the Canadian Grand Prix and he got second, my friend and I were so excited. My friend like bought his Alpine jersey. He was like, let's go. He's going to kill Max. Like, can't wait to watch this. And then he did absolutely nothing. And now I just don't trust him.
Wait, wow. So what is the drama? He's retiring again?
No, he's moving to Aston Martin, but it was announced in like he's taking Vettel's seat.
Why? Vettel's retiring.
Vettel's
I know
retiring.
That, he's but taking, I'm like, Alpine's but cars it, are faster.
Right. Yeah. I mean, currently that is the case and he's kind of crazy for it. But the way it was announced was like Alpine didn't know that he was moving.
It was very funny.
It was like. Yeah, it was like right in the middle of contract, all the contract negotiation stuff. He kind of like waited till the last minute, announced it early, and then peaced out on vacation and like left a bunch of drama. And then people were like, oh, Oscar Piastri is going to take his place and then at Alpine. And then Oscar was like, no, I'm not. So now there's just a lot of questions, but he's probably a pretty big contender for the McLaren seat. From my understanding, and that's what you missed on Glee. Really,
Alpine looks so dumb in this whole thing. They lose Alonso. They announce Piastri. He says he's not coming, and they're like, "All right, well, guess what? Fuck you guys. We're gonna get Danny Ricciardo back." It's like, wow, the guy that's finishing 15th in the McLaren. Great, good stuff. Sad Danny coming to the team.
Fourth, we got George Russell.
Do you mean Mr. Consistency?
Damn it, I was going to say that.
See, you said Mr. Consistency, and I immediately went to, like, viscosity, because he looks like milk.
I said Mr. Consistency. he gave us a run for our money. I was scared. I was scared he was going to catch up on Carlos.
Same.
Yeah,
he had a good race.
Yeah.
He had a good race.
He always has a good race. I think he's one of the better drivers out there.
Yeah, it's really interesting to see him go. I mean, Hamilton didn't finish this week, but like him and Hamilton being almost on equal footing in the Mercedes does show like his mettle as a driver, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, is he also shitting on the car as much as Hamilton has been? Lewis is like, this
no,
car sucks.
But he was in a Williams.
Right.
And Hamilton was in like the best car possible.
Yeah,
that's true.
But it is a weird, yeah, it is a weird dichotomy where it's like, who is actually doing better if they can adapt to this car? But it seems like the car is just also terrible. So,
yeah, the car does seem bad. But apparently, Hamilton is like still doing well in it when he's. I don't know. It seems like he can just will the car to be better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently he was at the track until midnight, burning the midnight oil with the team, trying to make the car better.
I love somewhere. Those parts of Drive to Survive where he's like with all the techs and he's just like leaning over, looking at a computer screen, but not really doing anything, just kind of being there.
Yeah. What would he be like at midnight, into
that sort of thing, which is cool.
I think George Russell just always assumes that he has a New York Times profile going on at him, and that like that's how he conducts himself all the time. Yeah.
George Russell or Lewis Hamilton?
George Russell. I think he's just always acting like he's being profiled. You know, like when Zhou Guanyu, flipped over and. Russell just like sprinted over like he could help. That is. And then I think he posted a photo on Instagram of him running over and he's like, great race. I'm glad everything worked out. Like, yeah, dude. I know why you sprinted over.
He made a huge deal after that moment of like, I mean, they basically were like, you can't restart. And he was so upset about it, which is fair, but also like you got out of your car. Like,
yeah.
Did you think they were gonna give you a pass for this?
Right. And what did you think you would do if you got over there? that the safety people weren't doing.
Fire.
It's so funny if he twisted his ankle jumping on that like big tire stack.
Did you know he's
he
like
also
the head
falls
of
between the fence?
He's like the head of the drivers like group or whatever. He's like their spokesperson. So like when the drivers have like
sucks.
A yeah, when the drivers have like a grievance, they like all meet together and he like. Like whatever it was earlier this season when it was, I don't know, porpoising or maybe it was even the first race when, wait, it was this season where it was got bombed, right? When there was like a,
yeah.
Yeah. They yeah, had the drivers race. Met and stuff and like he was like, came out and like gave a statement or whatever. And I'm just like, why are you the mouthpiece? Like you're like the last person.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, you can definitely tell that he really likes that.
Yeah he likes the spotlight. He wants to be the mouthpiece. He wants to be the yeah. face of the sport.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think
we're really shitting on everybody today.
Yeah, but I mean I like him. Really, I mean he's doing it the right way. He's like he's trying to be such a good guy that everyone likes him, so it's like it's kind of fake and I can see through it, but at the same yeah. time it's like you are actually being a really nice guy all the time.
Yeah.
So
yeah. It is there is like a genuine aspect to it. It's just like you're doing a little too much.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Yeah.
Like you can literally try hard.
Right. Yeah. You can definitely see the intention behind everything.
Yeah.
I feel that way when I see John Cena do anything. Anytime he does like press or something, like when he was in the Peacemaker costume yeah. everywhere, like that felt so calculated. And he's like, well, we looked at the numbers and everyone decided this would be very funny if I did this.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I get that same sort of like, okay, George Russell, sure, yeah. You are right. This nice guy.
Right. He's a robot who's, like, calculated how to make, or an alien that's, like, studied, oh, this is how you get to get people to like you, so I will do yeah. it to a T.
Yeah.
I also see him with his shirt off all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
Yeah. And he's ripped, always, but he's not stacked.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's just this skinny lean guy.
Yeah. Right. I think
which is probably what you need to be, but...
Right,
when
you're skinny with
you're sweating out
neck.
Like 7 pounds of water every single race.
All right, we are at the podium now. We've got Carlos Sainz in number 3.
My God.
There it is. 55.
Carlos Sainz Jr., you mean.
Mm-hmm. Carlos Sainz yeah. Jr., I apologize.
Don't forget he has an overbearing father.
Do you have to have that to be an F1? Say? It seems like maybe you do need some sort of like very yeah yeah
yeah
absolutely. You need to have a daddy.
They invested
issue.
A lot. Yeah. They invested a lot in it.
Is there a single person that has a healthy relationship with their dad on this grid? It does not seem like it.
Absolutely.
I
not.
Mean, probably Lewis Hamilton, but there's also probably a little something there. Like,
yeah,
I mean, think Lewis Hamilton's story is the most wholesome and like good, yeah. and his yeah. dad seems like a good person. But yeah,
yeah, know. It's like you have to start so young that are you even that into it as a kid? I mean, you
yeah.
have to be like sure this is what you want
to
do.
Be.
Yeah, yeah, but it must come from a little bit the parents being like,
yeah,
wouldn't
like,
it be fun if we spent
you...
several $1,000 on a souped-up
right.
cart?
Oh, you're really,
and strapped
you're really
you
into
it?
This karting thing. I'll quit my job and move to Europe with you.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you have to be way too invested in your kid.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, I feel like it's like that for most sports. Like, how many little leaguers are really like? I guess I want to be a baseball player, you know, sort of thing. It's just like these,
but I almost feel like
these
every
dads
little...
are way richer. So they're like, right. yeah, we could put you in a cart instead of buying you a bat.
Yeah.
But like when I was little, I also wanted to be a professional baseball player, but my parents just probably saw me playing T-ball and they're like, well, that's not going to happen. So like,
yeah.
dad's going to keep on being a tax lawyer, Jake. I think we know where the money's coming from.
Here's a microphone, Jake. See if you can talk into this for a while.
Yeah.
It's one of those rinky-dink children's microphones that does like an echo, the plastic one.
Go talk to yourself
Jake
in the mirror.
I mean, I feel like Carlos came in. I don't know if you read any of his like pre-race interviews, but he was like very much like Red Bull is going to beat us today.
Yeah.
Even afterwards. I mean, I think that, I don't know. I was confused why they did the second stop on DeHards, but I guess it was like, you know, he said after the race that the tire degradation was just way too much and he was slipping and sliding. But
his package was fucked, guys.
Yeah.
They used the wrong package.
They used the wrong package.
Valtteri style.
I also like, I don't remember if this was a message to Charles or Carlos. It might have actually been to Charles, but the engineer was like, just try your best. It's like, you're trying to win a championship. What do you mean, just try your best? Like, yeah. What are you talking about?
We're all very proud of you over here.
Yeah.
He had some response where he was just like, I'm pushing a lot, guys. They're like, yeah, I'm doing everything I can. The car isn't good.
Yeah. I feel bad for him, but at the same time, I feel like he's more consistent than Charles.
It seems like he's
not really Charles's fault. I don't know. I think even I'm still trying to find like the post race interviews with Charles, and all I've seen so far is that he was like, the pit lane thing was my fault. It was a mistake that I made. I feel like Matteo is like holding him at gunpoint, just
as like a sniper.
We did nothing wrong.
Yeah,
and you don't tell them anything.
It's hard go ahead.
Yeah. Well, the pit lane thing is weird. Isn't there just a button you press to prevent you from speeding in the pit lane?
Yeah.
And what, did he just turn off the button too early? Or I don't know exactly how that part of it works.
I think he got nervous that Fernando was going to pass him, so he kind of pushed it a little
bit.
Yeah,
that's what I...
But you know...
what it looked like to me.
Like, should I break the rules right now? Like, it seems like... I don't know.
There's always... In every sport, there's a little bit of cheating to see how much you can get away with, especially in a racing scenario.
There's a lot of cheating in this sport.
There's a lot of cheating.
Yeah, it seems like every race, everyone's just trying to get away with something, just like a little bit. What kind of edge can I get?
I agree.
Video podcast.
Jake is peeing right now, but we're going to go ahead and talk about our number two guy, Checo. Came in second.
I'm tired of Checo. I'm tired of Sergio Perez. I'm over him. I don't dislike him. I'm just tired of him.
Yeah.
In what way? Like his driving, his personality,
just like his driving, because I just get annoyed when he passes Carlos. His personality, because he's just very bland. But then, like, I don't know. There's a weird thing where, like, I really feel for him with the Max situation, because he is so close, or he like was so close to him in the points, mm-hmm. where like he could, in theory, be a championship contender. So every time that he like comes in second to Max, I'm like, that's a bummer, man. Sorry about it. But then I also think about how he's like literally 32 years old and like so boring. And I'm like,
yeah, it's an extension like of hating this? Red Bull.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have in my notes, Perez immediately losing three places. Hot. his start was terrible. I liked how they were like, oh, Checo is like angling himself 20 degrees towards the racing line. And then Fernando immediately got ahead of him. He immediately loses three places. Also, like Carlos was angled. They were like this at the start.
Yeah.
It was great.
So also, wasn't he about to retire two seasons ago and then Red Bull picked him up?
I think it was just like he was without a seat, maybe.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was rooting for him to not have a seat.
2 years ago, I mean, I think I've only stopped liking him when he's come to Red Bull. But
I mean, once he came to Red Bull, I was like, see? Because he was in the pink and blue cars.
Right.
Yeah. Racing Point or whatever.
Racing Point.
Yeah, Force India.
Force India.
Yeah, whichever it was. Yeah.
And those were just, they were so annoying. the way they drove, the way he drives. So annoying. Worse in the middle of the pack, I'll say, but also annoying because it's Red Bull and they're winning.
Yeah, but I will say that I like when... So say like Carlos is in first and Checo is in second and Checo is just like defending somebody who's trying to pass him. I love when that kind of thing is happening because Checo will hold up a race and cause some problems.
Yeah.
So like you can count on him to work in your favor sometimes. Mm-hmm. But when it's happening and it's not in your favor, you're pissed because
he seems like a great number two driver. Like every team would want him as their number two driver.
Right, like because Max will just pass you, and Checo will frustrate you, and that kind of like.
I mean, Checo frustrates Max. Like when Max is behind him, he's like, "We're going way too slow." Like Max only gets angry on the radio; he never celebrates. So anytime he's like yelling on the radio, you know it's because he's angry at like his own teammate. Even though it's like lap, dude, you started like P14 and it's lap like five and you're in like fourth place and you're like screaming at your teammates like, okay,
chill out. You can totally tell at the end of the race too when they finish and they're just like, all right, well done Max, that's P1, and he just goes, ha ha, yes,
we did it, boys, another good one.
You've been yelling at me all race, man, I'm fucking pissed at you.
He's like, leave me alone, don't talk to me. And then Christian Horner comes over the radio at the end of the race, and it sounds like he's been scripting his line the entire race.
You're in a class of your own, Max.
Yeah.
Do you think that Christian Horner pictures Max when he fucks Ginger Spice?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so too.
Oh, that's who his wife is.
Yeah.
I was
always wearing white at races. Anytime she's on a cream number or a white number, I don't understand
cream
it.
Cream number.
Christian Horner is like, he's one of the sorest losers I've ever seen, and he's also bad when he's winning, so he's just a piece
he's
of
so
shit.
He's so smug. I mean, he's the perfect villain. I really do truly love him for that. Anytime he comes over the radio or is like, he's always like the first to get a post-race interview. I had ESPN just like playing in the background. Immediately they found him. Like, he loves to talk, and I admire that in him.
The thing is, I feel like he's just Marty's evil twin.
No,
let's
way.
Unpack that.
No, I just feel like they have the same energy, but Christian's the worst version.
There's like a quietness to them sometimes.
And then it's like Marty will like often have something rehearsed for a meeting, I feel like. And he wants to be the first person interviewed at like conventions.
Absolutely drag him.
I'm gonna get demoted.
You can't get any lower, man.
So we've been talking about Max Verstappen, who is our final person on the grid. He came in first. Not really a surprise, but also kind of a surprise just because of where he started in the race, but it's like, who can touch him, you know?
It feels like he's driving a different car. I think he just has a different car.
Insane. Insane drive. Like, so fucking impressive. I hate him so much.
It sucks. It would be interesting. But he's like, so good.
I wonder if... So let's just imagine Pierre Gasly is Max Verstappen. Would we hate him as much? Or is it like this amazing confluence of like Max Verstappen is the most annoying driver driving the best car? And it's just like that's... It's such a bad combination. Like, I'm trying to imagine I would hate
to
whoever,
me, that's
if
the
anyone was
combination
winning this much.
For a Formula One driver. Like,
yeah.
It's like in Talladega Nights, where it's like he's basically, what's his name? Sacha Baron Cohen's character is like, oh, who's this really good F1 driver coming into NASCAR? And he's just like this annoying, really good European guy. And it's like, yeah, this is... exactly who I would expect to be the number one driver in the world.
I guess when Lewis was like winning every race for like 7 years, not that I watched those races live, but like watching the docu-series and then watching it, some of them live last year. It's just like, wait, did I even do that? I don't know.
You did. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know. I didn't like him then. But it's because they make things boring. And Lewis, it was like, I like Lewis, but I hate that he makes everything boring. And then the real interesting thing is everything from third place down. With Max, it's like, I hate his personality and he makes things boring.
Yeah.
Right.
So if it was Gasly, it'd be not as bad, I think.
Yeah.
But still, I also think
his fans are fucking awful.
Yeah.
I think that's another big issue.
Yeah.
The Orange Army is scary and bad.
Wait, sorry, what don't you like? The sexism or the racism or like something else?
It's only the smoke.
Yeah, I don't like the smoke. That's my main problem.
Only the orange smoke.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I hate that. Those are really...
Which is really just for McLaren. Right?
Like, yeah. I mean, Lando posted on his Instagram story today, like, so many McLaren fans.
Yeah.
Nice.
Laughing to himself alone in his trailer.
I don't know. There's sometimes when I really enjoy I enjoy certain things that Max does. I think that his, like, press personality has gotten really better and kind of funny. He's like, I don't know how to describe his, like, the smile that he uses for, like, any sort of press thing. I find so fascinating and, like, weird. And then sometimes I like when he, like, interacts with other drivers. I think that he has cute moments with them. And there was, like, one race a few months ago where he, like, fist bumped Lewis Hamilton, and I was like, God bless, this is great. I love the sport.
Yeah, I think he has definitely chilled out a little bit. I mean, he was like so stressed out last season that it was like, oh, you're like gonna snap or something bad is going to happen. And that was like more exciting, but I kind of was like, I don't like this person. Yeah. I think he's like much more likable as a person, but he definitely retreated from all of the like spotlight because of I think last season, and kind of sucks because like I think he's actually probably more likable and probably funnier. I mean, the cool down room, he's like,
yeah, it's great. Like, the cool down room is the best thing to happen to Formula One.
So I don't know. It's like, I hope that, you know, he becomes a little more human. Seeming
that
I
would mean, be
he
nice.
Is, but like I don't think like the people around him like let him. Too.
Yeah.
And he feels like he has to be this like super serious guy because now he's like the preeminent winner. But I don't know. It's boring. It is boring for sure. And that's part of why I don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot easier for him to like crack a smile and be cool when he's finishing races like this too.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That almost says something about his personality. It's like, I'll be cool when I'm winning by a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Speaking of winning a lot and points after today's race, Verstappen is in the lead with 284 points. Perez is in second with 191
so
points. Leclerc's in third with 186.
The season is over.
Yeah. It's really a fight for. Second and third, really. In fourth and fifth.
Which is super interesting.
Yeah, fourth.
Yeah.
Carlos Sainz has 171 points. George Russell has 170. So the top five racers, you know, it's pretty tight for
after
second
Verstappen.
Place.
Yeah.
But Verstappen is done, I think, for him. He's the champion of 2022. That's my prediction. And then also the constructor standings. Red Bull is in first with 475 points. Ferrari is in second with 357 points. Mercedes is in third with 316. And then in fourth, Alpine has 115. They're pretty far back there.
I mean, it would be interesting to like chart like where Ferrari is headed in the constructors versus where Mercedes is headed, because like they could very much blow it.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. Anyway, just throwing that out there.
I think they will blow it. I think, I don't know. I'm surprised at what they were saying. I think Carlos was saying that like Zandvoort is going to be a good race for them, but we've only raced there
all
once,
the time.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I think, but it was interesting that he was like, Zandvoort's going to be our advantage and then Monza is going to be Red Bull's advantage. So, which feels like it should be the reverse just solely because it's like Max's home race, but I don't know. It'll be interesting. I think they're going to blow it though.
Okay. So, next up, that was the race. We're going to rate the race. Our system for rating the race goes like this. If you think it's a good race, you give it a push-push. If you think it was a bad race, you give it a box-box. So I'll go ahead and start. I think this race ultimately was a box-box. I think there was like a lot of action up front, and then I was very bored for an hour.
I'm also going to give the race a box box. There was one point where someone towards the end of the race, I think Crofty was like, things are going to get interesting now between George and Carlos. And I was truly falling asleep. And I was like, oh, man, yeah. Gotta wake up for this.
I'm going to give this race a push push. I actually thought I thought Sainz starting on podium, the quali and all the penalties, it was a lot of hype. And the first lap did live up to it. So I think that spike made it so that even when it leveled out, I was still pretty excited. And also the Danny leaving McLaren gave that like a fun storyline, something to root for. And the weather. The track, Spa's beautiful. So I'm going to go ahead and give it a push-push.
I am also going to give it a push-push. I think it's, like, memorable. Like, I mean, a car went airborne. That was dope. Yeah. You know, and Carlos podiumed, so I'm always happy to see that. You know, anytime it's, like, a 1-2 Red Bull, you're kind of like, okay, this is, like, a somewhat
their 20th in Formula
race.
One.
Yeah, I know. Wow. Yeah. And I've seen, I think, all of them. It certainly feels that way. I don't know. Yeah, it was kind of the middle of the race was pretty boring. You know, Charles tried to screw it up in the end in dramatic fashion. I thought that was awesome. Yeah,
that was fun. You got it. You
so, you know, it had some memorable moments for me. So I'll give it the push-push.
Okay.
Jeff, I also am giving it a push-push. And part of that is my bias of I haven't watched a race for like 2 months till today. But yeah, for the same reasons Pyle and Jake said, I don't have a lot to add, but you know, seeing Danny, like I was like, oh, like I want Danny Rick to stick it to McLaren. I had already decided that I actually don't like McLaren as a team and brand.
Love it.
But now that they're
how much
not
did you spend
giving him a
on
seat,
that McLaren sweatshirt that you bought?
Probably like $70. But now I'm firmly a member of the Tifosi.
You're the side of Haas. Arguably
welcome.
Worse. Yeah. We all are and we regret it, but we can't leave.
And, way to downgrade, bro.
Yuki Tsunoda having a 10-second pit stop will always make me rate a race as push-push. Little fucker.
Speaking of little fuckers, who was the hottie of the week?
Hottie of the week, I have to give it to Valtteri Bottas because it's his birthday and he deserves.
It's his birthday.
He deserves to finish at least something.
This naked photo of him on Instagram, on his wife's Instagram.
Oh my god!
Insane farmer's tan.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
Out of those two beige shooting sleeves.
Incredible.
I think my hottie of the week is gonna go to. Oh boy. I think it was Lewis saying it doesn't really matter what he said during that interview. I thought that was the hottest moment.
Yeah, I'll piggyback off that. I think Lewis Hamilton's the hottie of the week. I like to see a race car driver walking alone in the woods after going airborne.
likes long walks in the woods.
Yeah, I think all of that was hottie behavior. So I got to give it to him.
I think this is more like hottie of the month because we had so much time off and Jake was just constantly posting photos of Carlos's Instagram. So I'm going to go with Carlos just because I have a lot of photos in my brain of him on vacation, driving around the Mediterranean or wherever in like a runabout teak boat. Yeah. So I'm going to go with Carlos.
My dude. I'm going to go Toto Wolff because there was one shot of him in the race where he just looked really contemplative. Yeah. And it was definitely Zunkle energy.
I was going to try to track how many Toto zoom-ins there were during the race, and it was truly only one.
It was one.
I wanted to choke my notes. Me.
Yeah.
I really do.
I love that for you.
Thank you.
So those were our hotties of the week. Now, finally, let's get to the little bitch of the day.
can I start?
Please. Yeah.
It's Pyle. For saying I should be a commentator. After the probably least interesting point of the group chat. Oh, and then not being able to figure out his microphone for the first 15 minutes. So that's what really cemented it. I was going to say Zach Brown, but it's ultimately Andrew Pyle.
Yeah.
Zach Brown is a good one. I would have to go with Latifi. I'm frankly disgusted by him being such a bad driver that he takes out Valtteri Bottas on his birthday. It's not bright.
Yeah, I'm going with Latifi.
And his future's not bright.
Yeah, is he off the team next year? I think there was the commentators were saying that there was an opening at Williams, right?
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
So is he getting booted?
I don't know if it's official.
Maybe his contract's up or something. I don't know.
Oh. No more Lavazza coffee in the tents, guys. You're going to be drinking Starbucks now.
Yeah, you go, Pyle. I'm still deciding.
I mean, I guess I'll go Perez.
I didn't like that.
Fuck him. That's why.
I didn't like that in his race post race interview. He was like, "Max was on another planet." I didn't like that he admitted that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, this was like a real bummer of a podium post race interview. Everyone was just like,
"Yeah,
I don't know. I was hoping for more." Including Max, it seemed like. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, both Carlos and Sergio were like that. And I'm like, you're not going to beat Max Verstappen. You knew that going into the race. And you're not happy that you're finished, like,
ahead of everyone
for
else,
Perez, he finished, it, you know, where he, you know. I guess, okay, here's the other thing about Sergio. Whatever, it doesn't matter. That's my bitch of the day. Little bitch of the day.
Do you think Max, you know, wasn't crazy excited even though we came in first because maybe he's a little bored that he's got such a huge lead and it's just like, yeah,
it makes it look so easy. It's so annoying.
Now it's just like so easy.
I think so, but also like when he isn't, like I don't know, they were saying that he looked really bummed the day before because of the penalties, or like the day that they found out they were gonna have to take the penalty,
right?
And it's like, make up your mind, like,
yeah,
you know how, like, good you are.
It's an insane comeback. You should be like, that was one of the best races I've ever done statistically. Yeah. If nothing else.
Yeah.
Whatever. Just smile more.
Talk less. Smile more. That's kind of what he's done this season.
Yeah.
And it's working. My little bitch of the day is going to go out to my boy Charles Leclerc for his radio message complaining about, I don't remember who he collided with at one point, but when he was like, And we touched, so, and then that was the end of the message. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like confessing to cheating on your girlfriend. So, like, I went out and we were on the dance
bitch
floor.
Energy.
And we kissed, so.
Also, the fact that he, like, immediately was like, the pit lane thing was my fault. It was my mistake. It's like, your team told you to pit for the fastest lap. Like, what are you? It's not your fault.
You shouldn't have been in the pit lane two speed at all.
I love him, though. I would die for him.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's the Belgian Grand Prix of 2022. The next race will be the Dutch Grand Prix.
Oh boy.
September 2nd through the 4th. Amazing. You guys looking forward to that? Racing
I'm gonna
is
be
back.
At a wedding next weekend.
Okay, all right.
But I'm going to figure out how to watch it.
We should say we're not recording specifically for that race.
Thank God.
Because we're piloting this episode. So if you want to hear us talk more, please tell us so that, you know, we can convince our bosses, Jake, to let us record things.
I approve this podcast.
No, I am excited. I think that track is really weird. It's the really, like, steep, whatever that's called, turns, I don't know, incline.
Yeah.
That's why we are casual, the F1 podcast for the casual fan.
What was our other pitch for a subtitle? Oh, the Formula Dank of podcasts, God. But less racist.
Oh yeah, the non-racist Formula Dank.
All right,
less racist. Less racist.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, actually, it was a little racist up top.
Yeah, that'll do it for this week's show. This pilot, this special presentation of the Pit Wall. Thanks for listening. Let us know if you want to hear more.
Mm-hmm.
In the comments
comment
of whatever
on
channel
the video.
This is on.
It's going to be on the Headgum channel. Comment below. It's going to be on some other feeds.
Yeah, if you like the show and you
also
want
have
more,
its own feed.
Comment push push.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hit that push push button.
Subscribe.
We need a social groundswell to make it undeniable that we must continue this podcast.
And if you stopped listening to it before the end, just comment DNF, which you won't hear this if you stopped at minute 23. Namaste. At Jeff Wary on Twitter.
Ideally, we can make Jeff get up at 5 a.m. for an entire year. Of Sundays.
Yeah. I like it though because it makes me I don't have an excuse to not wake up for it, and I can still go to bed at 3 a.m. have a great Saturday night and do it. I just won't be as high energy as I am on the Headgum podcast,
which is good.
You're
laying
practically face down on the couch right now.
I've been face down.
I almost fell asleep during the race, and I've almost fell asleep during this podcast about 4 minutes ago.
I mean, I woke up at like 7, and I'm fully going to take a nap after this.
Yeah.
Respect.
Thanks. Follow me on Twitter, though, because I need some followers.
Don't at me.
At Marie Galon. But don't be mean to me if I said something wrong.
You can be mean to me, Andrew P on Twitter. Everything I got wrong this episode, or anyone else, anything anybody got wrong this episode, feel free to DM me about.
Submit it to Pile. Yeah,
yeah.
I don't have a Twitter to plug. Well, I have a Twitter, but here's what I want to plug. I need everyone to comment on Carlos Sainz's Instagrams to check his DMs and open the ones from me.
Yes.
I have DM'd him twice. Once about a burger that he posted, I wrote damn. And then another time when he was foil boarding, I wrote nice. I need those to at least be seen by Carlos.
Yeah. Need this.
Yeah. If you have an Instagram, let Carlos know that I'm trying to get in touch.
2023 is the year that Jake gets on Carlos's teak boat in the Mediterranean.
My God.
Could you fucking imagine?
And here's what I'd like to plug. Valtteri's ass.
You already plugged your Twitter.
I was hoping no one heard that.
You can follow me on Twitter at Casey Donahue.
Also, if somehow you're listening to this and don't know what HeadGum is and you just found it because you're trying to find an F1 podcast, one, sorry, two, listen to more HeadGum shows.
There you go.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. We'll see you on the track.
Beep, beep.
Beep, beep.
That was a HeadGum original.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news. We're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
And why
Live.
Don't you tell them, excuse me, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Nili Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Okay, I will. It's
can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.